something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Jer breaks down his golf tournament, Stomp the Stigma at the Summit.
We play Shutting Down the Campfire Jams.
And by popular demand, The Return of Phil. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, man.
Terry, how freaking fun is this, bud? Just you and me in the tent and freaking campfire, a couple drinks?
Yeah, man, this is like the best time ever.
Long overdue, bud. Ever since junior high, we've been hanging together. We don't see each other as much as we used to because freaking life gets in the way and freaking commitments and freaking wife honey-do list and freaking kids and, activities.
Yeah, man, and like, this is like, you know, whenever we're like hanging out and it's like not, there's not even, I don't even have any mosquito bites in like the only thing I think we're missing is like some tunes, man, and I forgot my radio.
Guess what, buddy? Don't even worry about it. I brought my axe.
Wow, man, you dope.
That wolf piss works great on mosquitoes, doesn't it?
You got your acoustic.
Frig them salmonella candles or whatever they're called. They don't freaking work for skeeters.
They do, man. Or they don't?
But tunes work pretty good. Yeah. Hey, remember this one?
What? It doesn't matter, man. Like, that's just...
Remember? That's friggin' Tom Petty.
Well, oh, yeah, man. I love Tom Petty.
Well, started out for the singer, bud.
Yeah.
Dirty roll. Freaking started out. Remember that one?
Yeah, man. Started
out. Should I get to the chorus?
Yes.
Friggin' learning to fly. Remember that one?
Yeah, man. That's good.
Then I ain't got things. Friggin' what comes up? Friggin' come down. Is there anyone better than friggin' Tom Petty?
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. I got one, man.
All right, let's hear Tom Petty like tune, or?
I'm a little too tired to play guitar, but I'll sing it, I guess.
Yeah, Tom Petty tune, let's give her. Nothing better than Tom Petty.
I don't really know any lyrics for Tom Petty, but maybe one. She was an American girl, and that's the only one I know.
Okay.
But how about
you want me to play another one?
No, how about... Yeah, I guess you could do another one. It's your turn.
Just play something off the top of my head by... oh, man, so many good bands, so many good songs.
World's Our Oyster tonight. Hey. That's Tom Petty, right?
Remember? She's a good girl. Remember? Loves her. Was it boyfriend or mama? Loves Jesus. And a horse face too. Remember?
Yeah.
She's free. She's free from her. Sing it, bud. You love Tom Petty. Much as the next guy.
Trees falling. Good girl.
Yeah, there it is.
Crazy Bud Elvis.
Yeah.
Likes Buddy Holly too.
Do you know what I heard? I heard it's friggin' Elvis Stoico that she loves.
What?
I heard it's Elvis Stoico that she loves. Loves Elvis Stoico. Friggin' jumping around.
Even when he's kicking the boards.
Loves a triple axle and a double sal cow. Right? Fancy footwork. Nancy Kerrigan, too. That's what... I heard it's about figure skating.
It's a lead pipe.
It was a lead pipe. Yeah. And I corked her in the knee bone. She couldn't skate more.
Let me do another
one,
man.
She turned to the drugs. Let's hear it.
How about welcome back.
Was that Tom Petty?
What?
That was Tom Petty, Welcome Back?
No, welcome back. The names have all changed since you come around. And the people I saw aren't the same around.
Oh, don't come around here no
Ooh,
more?
Ooh, you gonna shake
no.
it. Ooh, you gonna take back there when we made it. Oh, we tease them a lot. Cause we got them on the spot. Welcome back.
Was that on Full Moon
Fever? Welcome back.
Your Tom Petty's freaking spot on, bud.
I don't think that's Tom Petty.
Remember
that's
this
like,
one?
That's like a TV show.
Johnny Depp was in this video, remember?
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Remember?
What is that?
Jenny waited till she finished the school.
Oh yeah, man. Remember? Like, this is Tom Petty again.
She lived yeah. You were talking about Tom Petty, weren't we?
Well,
the
not
video
really, man.
Had Johnny Depp in it too.
Come on,
remember?
Man.
Future was wide open. Man, what are the odds that we both love Petty that much, eh?
I know that part. Bum 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 bum.
Is that you, Phil?
Yeah, that's it, man. Like bum 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 bum. You could do do bum 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 bum.
Wide open.
Yeah.
Under them skies of blue.
Hey, listen, like we.
Friggin' Tom Petty, man. You, me, and Tom around the fire.
I know, like, that's enough Tom Petty, but, like, we need, like, let's eat, don't forget, like, to eat, like, bananas. We have to have those bananas or else we're gonna feel like shit in the morning, man.
Remember? I read something about some feller finding tarantulas in his bananas.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell, man? That's like, hey, you want to do another one?
Yeah, tarantulas in your bananas.
Stop it with the,
And then Sophie's bag.
What? I got... Everybody's talking at me. Can't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of theirs mine.
What the damn hell Tom Petty song is that?
People stop and stare. I can't see their eyes. They're just the shadows of my mind. Wah, 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 wah.
Sorry, bud. I just had to piss in the woods. What are you singing?
I'm going where the sun keeps shining. In the pouring rain. Going where the... What? I gotta take a piss too, man. Hang on a second.
We'll stand on my ground. We'll be turned around.
That's Tom Petty again, man. Justin, seriously, man.
Dragging me down while I'm walking back down.
Hey, man.
And I won't back down.
That's,
you know,
the one
I
with
think?
Ringo in the video, right?
Know what I think, Terry?
What?
I think you're too drunk, bud.
I think you need to go to bed is what I think.
I think you need to take a knee, bud.
Have you noticed you just keep playing Tom Petty songs?
Have you noticed you keep playing songs that aren't even Tom Petty? Stay with the tour, bud.
Okay, come on. Let's, like, do something new. Like,
time to pull the shoe,
lose
bud.
Yourself. Become in the moment. Gotta better let it go. Because it won't stop. Gotta be at the top. The opportunity knocks. Come on, lose yourself up and in the moment.
Oh, don't do that, Terry. You're dating yourself, bud.
No, man. Like, let's try something cool like that. Like
is that
lose
the he's got spaghetti on his mom's
God,
jersey?
Let it go, ho, watch yourself. Don't fuck it up. Take your chances. Watch. Don't fuck around. Do it.
I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. I'm gonna let it all hang out.
Hey, that's not Tom Petty, dude. That's,
really raise my voice. Tonight I don't want to scream and shout. No inhibitions, mate. You ever seen this girl? Got a little out of line.
Yeah, man, she's like,
I ain't gonna act politically correct. I only wanna have a good time. Sing it, bud.
Same things all that's doing a woman. gotta let it watch it go, go, go. Hey, 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 watch me crazy. I'm getting lazy. Get, gotta fucking go up. Get up, straight up, gotta go.
You need to take a knee, bud. You need to take a knee, bud.
Feel like a woman.
You need to take a knee. You're not even making sense, but I'll see you tomorrow, okay? I'm going to play a couple more Tom Petty tunes by the fire. You need to go to bed.
Dude, I was drunk. Now, not, like, because I'm, like, on beard. And you're, like, you keep playing Tom Petty, man. You haven't done anything but Tom Petty songs. You should go to bed, man. You go to bed now.
Well, one of us should probably go to bed, and probably not me, bud.
I'm going to sing some Queen. We will rock you.
You know what, Terry? You need to call the tent. Just go to sleep. See you in the morning. I'll make you an omelet.
Watch yourself. I'm be a man one day. Blood on your face. Fucking disgrace.
We sound like an idiot.
Watch it all kick your ass. We will rock you. Wow. Oh, man. Come on, man. What's up with that fucking mosquitoes at this time of night, man?
Whoa, Skeeter's getting bad, bud. You better crawl in bed, go to sleep, call it a night.
Yeah, right, man. Like, I ain't afraid of bears, and I ain't afraid of mosquitoes.
How about the biggest part of our production is the campfire sound that's, effect?
That's an hour and a half.
It's an hour and a half HD campfire sound effect.
That's our shutting her down campfire jams.
Time to shut her down, bud. You know, there's always that guy who will only play, like, come on, you know this song. How about, like, the guy that keeps singing the song? Like, you know this song, come on. They sing a few words, like, no, man, I don't know it. Come on, yes, you do. They keep singing it. You know, it goes like this. No, I don't know it. Yes, you do. Come on.
You didn't break out Wonderwall either.
No. But I needed a lot of resistance.
I heard Wonderwall twice this summer at campfires.
Describe the settings for both.
Well, one was like a bunch of people around a huge campfire.
And the guy meant it?
For sure.
Or it was like, guys, get this. Wouldn't it be funny if I played this right now?
What?
He meant it?
No, well, for sure. But everyone's all banged up, so they start singing it anyway.
Yeah, right.
Like it's a bad jam.
Like, starts as a joke, but people actually mean it.
Oh, come on. You know what would be bad would be Stairway to Heaven at the campfire.
Oh. You know what song I had in my head this week? The Miniature Ponies are playing the Mr. D rap party tonight, so we've been practicing. Remember this gem?
You're not doing that. No, you're not.
Now don't you cry. Wipe away the tears, teardrops from your eyes.
Queensryche.
They only had that one jam, right?
Well, they had lots, but that was a big Pink Floyd rip.
Or, oh, I can feel. How does that go? Oh,
live?
Feel it.
Coming
back again. There it is. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Brutal.
I played shows with those guys live.
That was actually a good jam. I didn't mind that jam.
Yeah, it was huge. It sold like 4 million albums, that record.
That record. Speaking of records, we have so much to talk about. Speaking of records, we can't say what it is, but we can say that Ed the Bod from Bare Nakeds reached out to us and said, do you want to work with us on the exclusive release of a tune that is kind of Canadianity inspired that Buds will love, and Buds are going to get a first crack to download it. That is awesome.
That's coming up in a upcoming TNT future.
Yeah, it's not yet. But I just love the fact that he was like, this song's kind of about Canada. You know what else is about Canada? TNT. We listen to TNT. Maybe the Buds would like to have the song. I just love that he thought of us and made it happen. That's super cool. Something that's really
like
exciting.
A modern classic Bodism, and can't wait to hear it. Give it to the Buds.
I don't even know where to start. How about the new addition to the Taggart family?
How about that? My little puffball.
Little furry mask.
We got this little Palm Chi, half Pomeranian, half Chihuahua for my daughter's birthday on August 10th.
So unbelievable. We were like, how was the reveal? Like, was he in a Sobeys bag? And it was like, Annalise, could you pass that to me?
No, it was like the old, yeah, it was like the old come in the house and she's looking at what's going on. And then all of a sudden saw the dog and her eyes just exploded.
Aw. She had heart eyes.
She's been talking about it for like over a year. So,
and she loved it.
And it got to the point where she's like, well, I'm getting a dog for my birthday. Well, I'm getting a dog. And we're like, it was difficult to find the dog in time, to be honest. Like, it was like a Kijiji run around. But Lisa pulled it together and we got this cute little puppy. He's adorable. And Annalise named him Rebel.
Love the name. Kijiji. Yeah. Oops, wrong key. Kijiji. Why you wanna give me the run around? I've had that song in my head all week too.
That's a classic jam.
Especially this part. I like coffee and I like tea. Wanna be able to enter a final plea. Did you guys ever play with them?
Yeah, for sure. I love that band.
John Popper?
John Popper.
Popper. He's a big bone gentleman.
Yeah. Well, he always do those little trills. Why do you wanna give me the run? Imagine how loud he is.
What?
Like, if you're in the room, how loud his voice is.
Oh my gosh. Fuck. Is his speaking voice that loud too?
Well, just, I mean, he's such an insane harmonica player that that's all about breath, and he's so loud with that. So, and his voice is just
breath and breadth. They had a song called The Hook that I really liked.
That's that one with Paul Schaefer, remember? That's the big never-ending lyrics.
What do you mean?
Paul Schaefer's in the video and like on that jam.
For The Hook?
Yeah, look, get the video up.
Because really?
Yeah.
I love it. We have all these things that we need to talk about, but this is suddenly of utmost importance.
Well, it's the Canadian Amity tie-in, the Thunder Bass. The Hook. Paul Schaefer.
What were they called? Blues Traveler.
Yeah.
Why you wanna give me the run around? Okay, here's the hook.
Yeah.
It's probably gonna be an ad first. Wait for it.
He's just in the video for some reason, but I'm pretty sure.
Like, You Can Call Me Al Styles?
It's like, and they're playing it.
I feel like YouTube has a lot more full ads now. There's a lot less skip this ad stuff. This is a video we'll play after the ad thing.
Oh, it's like, I guess
it. Oh, it's a promo for the Arcade Fire album.
I'm not sure if he's, like, actually in the song, but he's in the video.
Let's play ViewTube. How many views do you think Hook by Blues Traveler has?
2 mil?
13 milsy.
Yeah, there you go. Is he in the video?
It's so far, it's a beauty pageant. And the beauty pageant contestants are lip syncing the lyrics.
Okay. He just played backing keyboard to a song called Stan.
And there's some John C. Reilly looking motherfucker on the couch watching the beauty pageant. And there's some thin mustache looking motherfucker who's like the judge of the beauty pageant. We have to wait till The Hook brings us back.
Yeah, you have to keep going.
Here it comes.
You haven't seen Paul Schaefer yet?
The Hook does bring you back. That's the whole thing of it. No Paul Schaefer yet, bud. And it's at the point now where the storyline has been so established it would be weird if suddenly they introduced a Paul Schaefer. It's a good jam, and he's a good singer.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'm going to tell you something before we take a break.
No, we got to keep going until Paul Schaefer shows up.
All right. Well, while I'm watching the video, I'm going to tell you something about Rebel Taggart.
Yeah.
Get that furry motherfucker in obedience class. Because we've tried to take Henry now, and he's 3.
Yeah.
And the instructor's like, all right, everyone, take your dogs and put them on the line. Henry, don't worry about it, bud.
Oh.
He's the student in the class that doesn't have to do anything because he can't pick it up because he can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well,
Rebel's only 9 weeks, or he was almost 10 weeks old, but he's sitting already.
So, wow.
Yeah, and he's learning stay, so he's pretty smart.
Wow. With words or with hand commands?
Words. He knows his name already. Words. He'll come to you. He fetches.
Wow.
Yeah, he's really smart.
Where does he use the restroom?
Well, he actually is pooping and peeing on his little fake grass that we have.
I might be able to drum to The Hook.
Yeah?
By Blues Traveler. By the way, someone asked us online the other day, what's your favorite song to drum along to? And I said Eat My Brain by Odds.
Yeah, and they got back to you.
They got back and said, well, you have to sit in with us sometime. And my heart started pounding like, oh my God, I'm not ready for that. But how wicked would that be?
That'd be fantastic.
Probably more wicked to me than it would be to you or to the audience that
but
was there.
They're one of my favorite Canadian bands ever. They're one of the best musically, like, talented bands ever, for sure.
So good, and maybe
no Paul
just Schaefer a little
yet?
Underrated.
What?
Maybe underrated, just a little underrated.
Big time. Yes.
I also saw, I'm having a bit of a conflict because I saw an alternate spelling of Mask. There's Paul Schaefer!
Yeah, he's there!
Wow, the 3-minute and 7-second mark. Let's let Paul Schaefer's lip syncing take us to break. We have so much to talk about. 116 is just getting rolling, buds.
My beer chair.
Hello.
Welcome back to 116. So you've been very busy in Taggart land.
Yes.
The last week, there's been a lot going on. Maybe most importantly, yes, your annual golf tournament, which I was again not able to come to because of the Mr. D. But how did it go?
It was the best one yet. It
awesome.
Was incredible. We had great weather. We, you know, everybody was, you know, all the people came in, the support this year. We have BMO and Air Canada on board in a huge way, and both of them making commitments to go on. It's our third year, and we raised over $200,000. So
this was the second year?
Third year.
Oh, this was the third year.
Yeah.
And best yet. And then the fourth year
will be even better.
Yeah.
And the support we had from BODS, like three of the Letterkenny guys came, Dylan, Tyler, and Nate. They
awesome.
They were all there, and we had a great time with those guys. Those guys are amazing dudes, and obviously Jared would have been there, but he's cutting Letterkenny right now.
Yeah.
So.
Just BOD Nation.
Got to thank those guys for their support. Tim Oxford is there for the third year.
Awesome.
And again, he donated an awesome item for the silent auction. Two tickets of your choice to an Arkells concert.
Wow.
With a meet and greet and then a signed vinyl and swag.
Wicked.
Just amazing. July Talk did the same thing.
Nice.
They offered two tickets for their Massey Hall show on December 23rd. Meet and greet. An awesome signed vinyl. Two of them. Just the support from the music community. The Darcy's. Wes and Jason. Jason's arm's broken. He couldn't make it, but Wes was there again. And obviously Jeff O'Neill was there again. O-Dog. He's such a bod. I think it just connects so many people just because of the serious, you know, the side of it, which is basically suicide prevention and suicide awareness. So with the Kyle Brandon Travis Foundation and the Travis family, we've been, and Ian Leggett, I gotta thank Ian Leggett. It's at Summit Golf Course, and he's been there from, you know, the inception of it. Him and Bob were Bob Travis were so integral with getting the support from the corporate community, and it's been going so well, and we've got a lot of great charities and places that where the money's going for just the idea to try and mandate and get better awareness on all levels throughout universities, schools. If somebody happens to pass away, somebody will, you know, get in touch with you and call you and try and make things better. You know, and I think it's just the fact that we're getting the ball rolling on a lot of different levels to ultimately raise that awareness for this, and the support's been incredible. It's been
amazing. So because the subject matter is a little heavy, does it feel heavy on golf day, or do people kind of put that behind them and there are moments that are heavy, but for the most part it's like yucking it up and having some drinks? Or is the seriousness not lost on people?
It's fun. It's a fun day. It's more of a celebration for Kyle. And I mean, all the volunteers that are there on every hole are friends of Kyle.
Nice.
And Kyle was the one who took his own life over three years ago of the Travis family. And I guess that was he and Bob Travis is with his family, Marla, Lindsay and Jeff, they're all members at Summit. So just everything kind of came together. And if there was any idea of the tragedy that they went through and continue to deal with, one of the few fruits, and probably the only fruit, is just the fact that this has started. There's been a relationship with all of his family and his friends, and the things that are happening. We had so many great people. Rod Black was the awesome MC. Mark Saunders, the chief of police, came and spoke. And,
wait a minute. Did Black have a mustache or no mustache?
Rod, no mustache.
So it's gone permanently.
Yeah, but I wish it came back.
Yeah, me too. I think it's time.
Right?
He's a bud, right?
Yeah, no, he's amazing. Everybody that's involved has some kind of connection, and I think anybody listening right now, there's not too many people that don't have a connection with someone in their family or friends that are dealing with severe depression and don't know how to change that. So these are the steps that we're trying to make to try and make it more easier for people to talk about things and actually understand how to help people more, you know. And it comes down with love and true listening. It's really about kind of paying attention to each other. And like I said, you know, when I was on that day and throughout the day, there's no cure. There's not going to be a cure. But if people are more aware and they don't slide it under the carpet like it has been in generations before us. I mean, you and I, Jonathan, I'm sure you know people that took their own lives, and the parents or the family didn't want to say anything about it because they felt that there would be some kind of a feeling towards the person in a negative way. And that's what we're trying to stop. And I do believe it's getting better, because there's a lot of people that are at this event that are very public with their loss. So
I heard an interview. Andrea Dion is an anchor in Global Halifax here, and she's on the morning show with our bud Paul Brothers. And she did an interview with a dude this past week about the idea of perfectionism and how, you know, if you extrapolate a little bit, people are looking at other people's lives on Instagram and they look so perfect, and you're trying to make your own life perfect. And when you feel like you don't quite reach that mark, you know, you feel like you have no other option.
Mm-hmm.
That is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, I mean, the social media side of it is... it's terrible. I mean, there's a lot of people that have been bullied online, and that's the reason why they took their own life. I mean, it's so easy for someone to think something's funny, but when you're young, or if it doesn't even matter how old you are, if it jars you in a way where it takes away your self-esteem, that's a terrible thing, and it can happen very easily just from a few clicks on a keyboard.
Yep. It is chilling to imagine being at a place in your life where that feels like the best option. Like, what does that feel like? That must feel awful when you think that's the best way to go.
And a lot of the times, it's like anything that happens, it's tragic. It's a heat of the moment. A lot of times people decide that this is what they want to do. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I heard statistically from a source that people that call 911 most of the time when they realize they tried to do something and they realize what they've done. And wow. They say like 90% of the time these people are calling, or 100% of the time, because they wouldn't be calling to say I made a mistake and I don't want to do this. This was a terrible idea and I don't want to die.
Wow.
And it's like once you go over that step, you have true realization of what you're doing, because before that it's an act of something in your mind. You know, when it's actually happening, I'm sure most people think this isn't what I intended. I'm sure there are people who are so caught up in the darkness that they don't, but a lot of the times people, when they see that perspective, it's not cool.
Well, we both have family members that struggle with issues.
Yep.
We know that some buds that listen to the podcast have, mental health issues. Most people do.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you're a bud and you, want to chat to a bud, send us an email. We'll write you back.
Yeah, for sure.
It will get better. That's the only thing we know to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind has a way of compressing negative times in your rearview mirror so that hopefully they'll get further and further back in the past and you won't even remember them.
Yeah, man. And with this, the other thing that it's cool is we kind of started a connection this year. Definite connection with Cam H. And that's definitely going to help too, because with their knowledge and I'm sure that the whole concept of what we're doing is about solidarity and not, it's only trying to make things better. It's not about trying to build a foundation for, executives to make six figures.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's pure and it's real. So,
well, it's awesome because even 10, 15 years ago, look at Landsberg with Sick Not Weak.
Yeah, for sure. And I failed to mention that he was actually there too.
Awesome.
His support is invaluable. He spoke as well. I love Michael. He's a good friend, and he's doing great things as well. There's a Zach Makes Tracks as a kid who's running across the country for mental health awareness. He's another kid that's doing great things. Ariel Tweedo has a foundation called Popping Bubbles, and she's from Alaska, and she a lot of her friends have taken their lives, and she's in a community where it's dire and needs to be better, and she's there, and we're able to give her some funding to try and make her situation, the awareness there, stronger as well. So there's a lot of different little branches now, and it's all built towards kind of making things better
for everybody. It is. It's about understanding too.
Yeah.
My father-in-law and I are going up to Pangnirtung on Baffin Island in September, and that's one of the happiest communities I've ever been to. It's beautiful. It's happy. The economy is self-sustaining. They have a print shop.
Yep.
Everyone's living right. It's a great place. That's not the case, obviously, in so many communities through the North, and suicide is a huge problem that people much smarter than me haven't been able to resolve. But I think it obviously does start with understanding. And it's a very lateral thought, but I had the most profound experience yesterday because I was working at the Bud the Spud Fry Truck in Halifax, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was working for an hour, and I was going to match the sales to make a donation to Northwood Hospital Foundation, which is where my mom lived. And it's a seniors' residence. They do a lot of great stuff. They need things like treadmills and, ghetto blasters and, party funds to kind of make it a place where people go to live, not where people go to die. It's a wonderful place, as I mentioned at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm working in the fry truck, and this guy in a tank top kind of, you know, sort of struts by and stops, and we make eye contact. I'm like, where do I know that guy from? I know that face, but I can't place it. It was Jerry Jarrett's from my junior high, the guy that I've told you about, who was the toughest guy in school, really intimidating, really a scary guy, was having a relationship with a teacher.
Oh, that's the
that guy. And it took me a minute. I was like, Jerry Jarrett? And he was like, yeah, hey, how are you? So he lives in Alberta now, and he's home visiting his sister, who we also went to junior high with. And he heard that I was going to be at Bud the Spud, so he came down from outside the city to say hi.
Wow.
And this was the interesting thing. He was someone that I was terrified of in junior high. So he said, what are you doing after this? And I was like, oh, I'm just going to go take some fries back to the Mr. D set. So he said, well, we should go say hi to Rob, this other guy that was a friend of his that we went to junior high with. So we ended up spending a couple hours together. And 14-year-old me would have been terrified. But
wow.
This was the interesting thing. He was like, I grew up in a single-parent family. It wasn't a very happy environment. I saw you French immersion kids at junior high. I thought you were all rich. I thought it wasn't fair that you got to learn another language. And I was jealous of you guys. I was angry. So I wasn't very nice to you. Mm. And it was really important to him after 30 years to track me down on his vacation and explain this. And
wow.
I got to explain, well, actually, Jerry, I had just moved there from PEI, a place that was a lot more like Fairview than where, you know, you perceived all his French immersion kids came from. I didn't have any friends in French immersion or in the school. And a lot of us were from single-parent families, and a lot of us didn't come from much. So your perception of us was a little askew.
Mm-hmm.
And my perception of him was totally askew.
Yeah.
And really the sentiment was, hey, like he actually said, you know, I'm sorry I didn't know that. I should have been a better friend to you. And I just found it so intensely powerful that this guy that literally made me shake in my shoes 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
had obviously carried this stuff with him for this long, and for whatever reason, it was important to him to come track me down and say, hey man, sorry about that.
Yeah, well, didn't he chase you in his car?
Not in his car. He was, tales out of school, but he was in a relationship with a substantially older person, and she would lend him her car, and that's what he would use to chase us. But through the eyes of a teenage kid, it was terrifying. But of course, now I look back on his situation and think, of course he was angry. Of course he didn't like us. Of course he perceived us as having things that he didn't have. And of course that wasn't fair. And of course that made him mad.
Yeah.
And for me to be able to look at him as my adult self and understand that, and from his standpoint to hear my story and find out that I wasn't actually what he thought I was, and figure out that, as cliche as it sounds, our differences do kind of make us the same, and we probably have more in common than we think. And we even got as far as him saying, you know, the girls that you hung around with wouldn't give me the time of day because I had such a bad reputation.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, the girls that you hung around with probably all thought we were nerdy and soft.
Mm-hmm.
I was just very touched that he took the time to come track me down. And then we walked into his buddy Rob's place, who now has a t-shirt shop in Halifax. And the first thing he says is, hey, Rob, look, he still has the same hair.
Oh, my God.
So I guess my hair was like a pretty good punchline back in the late 1980s at Fairview Junior High.
Well, do they still have hair?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. He looks great. He's jacked. He's, you know, living in Alberta and has been working a lot and married and has kids and, you know, it was just a couple dudes. But there were a lot of people that went to junior high with us that never would have imagined the day that we'd be rolling around in a car together. So the funny thing is, he said, we should take a picture where you're punching my lights out.
And
I was like,
yeah.
I would love that.
That would be classic.
So we took a picture where I'm just leveling him right on the chin with a punch as hard as I can.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was a real good sport about it. Anyway, you never know what life's going to throw at you, but it was kind of neat to... I've often thought about, like, a documentary series or a radio show or something where people track down their bullies from a different time.
Yeah.
And just have a, like, by the way, what was that all about? And I guess I was telling the girls last night about the story and saying, you know, it doesn't make it easier to deal with if you understand where a person's coming from, but it's important to remember that everybody's coming from somewhere and we are all products of our own environment, and that does inform who we are in public.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he was an angry guy. Of course he was.
By the way, I need to get in touch with Mike Stevens.
Oh yeah?
Because I think he would be an important person to help us out.
Oh, he'd be great.
So, and we know how he does things and how hard he works and the amount of expertise that he has. I mean,
he'd be another perfect person
that would be worthy of some funding. So
yeah, I wouldn't even want to venture a guess at the lives that he's saved.
Yeah,
through his work up north,
and the fact that he just goes out there guerrilla style, you know, with a backpack. I mean,
armed with harmonicas.
Imagine what he could do, you know, if we kind of made that a 10 times style, you know, where he was actually traveling a little more comfortably and can help help more.
So, yeah. He's such a good dude. Knowing him, though, he'd be like, cool, you have some grant money? I'm going to buy more harmonicas.
What? Yeah, whatever it is. That's the whole thing. To make it easier and better for him. It's not like... I'm sure he does it how he does it, and I wouldn't want it any other way, for sure. Definitely. But anyway.
Well, it's good work that you're doing, bud, and it's good that you're a part of something so timely and helping so many people, and even just saying the word suicide out loud might help people in ways you don't even know.
Yeah, thanks,
we'll take a break, and I have another story that's going to melt your face.
Nice.
When we come back on TNT 116. Stay with us.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Yellow.
So get this. You know we have a car that we tow behind our motorhome.
Mm-hmm.
You know that my automotive challenges are well documented.
Yes.
I won't say the brand of the car because I am optimistic enough to assume that this was all a good Three's Company misunderstanding and not intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But some of my more skeptical friends think this was absolutely intentional. Check it out, okay?
Got it.
Driving the car, it starts making a noise.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me like, oh, the tire's flat, but it has run flat tires. So I take it to a mechanic and say, can you give this the once over? It's making a funny sound. They do. They call and say, you know, we can't find anything dangling, or there's no obvious sign of something unsafe. So you probably want to take it to the dealer, because maybe the dealer will be like, oh yeah, we've seen this 1,000 times. It's this.
Okay. Yeah.
Take it to the dealer, the brand I won't mention. The guy there who's been a bud to me, helped me out in the past, like, nice dude, calls and says, bad news, looks like you need a new transmission, clutch, and flywheel.
What?
The price is $7,400.
No way.
I'm like, oh man, that's a lot of dough to spend on a car that frankly isn't worth much more than that, if any more than that. So I was talking to another friend. They say, why don't you take it to this guy down in the Annapolis Valley who knows transmissions inside and out, and he might be able to rebuild it for you. Like, maybe even if it was half that, that would still be a win. So I have a tow dolly. I haul this car down there on the tow dolly. He's done three of this exact engines before. And he says, do you have a second? I said, yeah, sure. He said, let's take it for a drive. First of all, on the phone, he said, like, when you press the gas, does it make a noise? When you press the brake, does it make a noise? Is the noise constant or intermittent? Is the noise loud? Like, would people on the sidewalk turn to watch you go by? Is it that loud? Asked a whole bunch of questions to diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
We get in the car. We drive 40 feet. He says, that's not your transmission at all, bud. I was like, what? How can you tell? He's like, by the noise of it and where it's coming from. I'm pretty sure I know what it is. I'll call you tomorrow morning.
He's like the car whisperer.
Get this. He calls me the next morning and says, come get your car. I said, what was it? He said the front wheel was loose.
Come on.
Vrit, 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 vrit. Four bolts, tight, not making the noise. Come get your car. I said, what if I'd spent $7,500 on getting it fixed? He said, here's the thing. They would have taken the wheels off, put the new transmission in, put the wheels back on, and the problem would be fixed, and you would be none the wiser.
No.
So you go pick up your car and go like, ouch, cost me a lot of money, but at least the car's working great now.
You're kidding me. This is like full on, like pulling off your clothes, totally taking advantage of you?
Well, it depends who you ask.
But adding all that other stuff?
This is...
Can I ask one question?
Yes.
Is this a person that you've dealt with before?
Yes.
And you spent a lot of money probably in this place?
Well, here's the thing.
No questions asked ever, probably.
I still don't believe it was on purpose. I really don't. I think it was an oversight. Because I think the bigger problem is, and this is what Rick in the Valley would say, who, by the way, if you ever need a mechanic in Nova Scotia, obviously he's my ride or die for life now.
Yeah.
Rick would say, we have lost the art of diagnosis in the world. We just want to fix or chuck things.
Wow.
His example was, my wife has a front load washer. It started to rub the cylinder against the rubber on the bottom. Okay. So he likes to fix things. He took out the cylinder. He found the part that it needed. And he said the part to fix it was $90 more than a new front load washer. So he said these dealers hire a bunch of Red Seal mechanics who've passed the test, but that's all they've really done. We've lost the art of mentoring. So the older mechanics are too busy cramming 18 billable hours into an 8-hour day if they know how to do it right. That when a young guy says, like, hey, Ricky, can you look at this for me? They're like, sorry, bud, don't have time. You're on your own. So the young guys will plug the computer thing into the car, plug the car into the computer or whatever, let the computer make the diagnosis, and they haven't really done the diagnosis themselves.
Hey, John, I think you got to keep talking. I got to take the dog. He's going to piss in here.
He did?
Yeah, no, he's going to. I got to take him right over here. Just keep telling the story, though.
So I think what happened is, I would like to think it wasn't on purpose and they weren't trying to hose me.
Yeah.
I think the process just doesn't work and it was a misdiagnosis, and maybe they're so busy looking for the big problem that they don't use the process of elimination and start by checking out what the little problems are.
Got you, bud. Keep going.
So anyway... For $0, I got my car fixed instead of $7,500, which raises the question, what do you do with that information? Do you take it back to the dealer and say, hey, come on, bud? Do you just let it ride but never take a car back there again? Do you see it as a learning opportunity for the dealer to revisit their process and how big things like that can slip? Like, what if I'd been driving it with the girls and the wheel came off?
That would have been insanity.
Would have been bananas.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
I am just gullible enough to go, yeah, all right, I'll pay $7,500. Ouch, that really hurt. And I would have been none the wiser.
Yeah, and that would have been like two episodes in one, because usually it's $2,000.
So
every
Rick,
episode of TNT that you throw out, there's something costs you something.
Rick said, I said, so what if I'd spent $7,500? And he said, well, they would have fixed the problem while they were in there. So whether they were doing that vertently or inadvertently, depends how cynical you are. I'm sure some places are greasy enough that they do that. They say it's another thing and then fix the actual small problem while they're in there. I choose to believe that wasn't the case here. But if you do a bit of research into this transmission, they have been replaced a fair bit, because I tried to find a secondhand one, and there's a call out for 100 secondhand used transmissions of this exact car, which would suggest it's had some trouble.
But throwing the clutch and what else in there?
The flywheel.
The flywheel, the fly rink.
Like, I don't even know what a flywheel is.
That's totally like a made up word just to throw everything else off.
I know.
Because if he didn't say flywheel, you'd be like, man, what clutch? Transmission.
Flywheel?
Show me what? No, the flywheel just negates the whole thing. You're like, oh, okay. whatever.
You need a flywheel, bud. Hey, did Rebel pee?
No, he's kind of, I opened the door and he's kind of roamed. Lisa and the kids went out and that's just me and Rebel. And he's roaming around. I thought he was like trying to pee while you're talking. And because Lisa put him in the room with me, there's no place to pee.
Right.
So I put him in the bathroom, like in the tub, and he didn't. Because obviously he's never done it before. He's like, what the fuck are you putting me in here for? So now he's standing at the top of the stairs. So he might,
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a very short break, and I'm going to, in real life, call you back because our phone line's crackly.
Cracksly? I'm like having the trouble
hearing you.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Right on.
Fucking right, eh?
So the internet hasn't been working at our house for the last like month or so. Like once a week, the internet's down and it's not working. And I'm getting increasingly frustrated with Bell when I call them to say the internet's intermittent. Carol finally put it together that the internet is intermittent because when it rains, the internet doesn't work.
That's it.
So our service guy was kind enough to give me his cell number, and we're now like full-on emoji text friends. And I asked him if it was possible that our internet doesn't work when it's raining, and he said it's absolutely possible.
But I mean, to not work, like what kind of service is that?
Well, that's what I said. So yeah. I haven't had the internet for 4 days this month. Can I pay 27/31 of my bill?
Yeah, exactly.
And they are going to work with me to give me some type of compensation. But the thing that drives me nuts is when you have to pay for someone to come fix the service that they're providing that you are paying for.
No, I know. That's a bummer.
I know I've said this before, but it feels like at some times in your life, you could wage war with everyone and it's exhausting.
Well, do you imagine it in the commercials? It's like, sometimes if it rains, it doesn't work very well. It's always like high speed all the time, the highest speed of all time.
But it's like the Gillette Mach 3 Turbo. Like it shaves your face faster? That doesn't make sense.
Faster. Yeah.
But you don't want to be like, sometimes you just don't want to be a jerk to Andrew, the technician from Bell, because you know he's dealing with jerks all day. You just want your internet to work and you're happy to pay for that service, but it doesn't seem fair that you should pay for something that isn't working.
Sometimes you have to be a jerk though.
Yeah, sometimes you have to tell the milk people that you're not sneaking any small bags past us, bot.
Exactamundo. Hey.
In any event, it's raining here today, and our phone was crackling, so I was like, maybe our phone doesn't work when it rains. Because as the people know, we now use iRig Recorder to record the thing, which means we have to talk on our landline.
Yeah.
So now telemarketers, senior citizens, and Jeremy Taggart call our landline, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah. Spam and bods.
Yep.
Hey, how about this tour that's coming up starting in October?
Coming up soon.
Yeah.
Have some, aside from the actual scheduled tour shows, tickets are burling out the door, aren't they?
They're burling out the door, and if you need to get them while they're hot at taggartintorrens.ca. Our bod, Mike McFarlane, had put it all up there so you can easily get your tickets.
Turbo bud show. Mike McFarlane, by the way, like he has a full-time job and does well and is our internet guy because he likes to be.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Level of bodication.
He's the best.
Very best. And I think he's on vacation this week, so hope he's enjoying it. Hope he's soaking up the sun.
Hopefully he's seeing snakes while he's sitting in the beach.
The other thing is, let's shine a spotlight on some notoriously difficult markets. Montreal and Vancouver. Lots of buds have said, please come here. We are.
Mm-hmm.
It would be awesome if you could buy tickets, because promoters in those markets are sometimes like, I don't know if a live podcast is going to work, but we'll try.
Yeah.
So let's prove them wrong.
Exactly. And we have some fancy guests in all of those markets. Toronto. So far, we've booked Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver. So
tell the people. Are we allowed to? Breaking news style?
Yeah, sure.
Boodle beep, 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 ba da da. Boodle doo 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 ba
da doo. Jay and Dan coming to Toronto on October 18th at the Grey Hall.
Can't wait.
How about that?
Guess what?
What?
Guess what I've never done?
What?
Met Jay and Dan.
Face to face.
Never met them.
That's crazy.
I know, and I can't wait.
That's awesome.
Do you think we're in hug territory?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
So they're huggers.
Yeah, it'll be a hug fest.
Okay.
And then we have our our friend Jared Kiesel's coming to Montreal.
He's a hugger.
He's a hugger.
Yep.
And
Jared Kiesel from Letterkenny is going to be our guest at our show in Montreal. You teed that up. I love it.
That's That'll great. Be fun. How yeah. fun will that be with the games?
He was a TNT first responder.
He definitely
would. And sure. I'm so happy that he's coming. He's great.
And Dylan Playfair and Tyler Johnston are coming to the Vancouver show.
Love it. I've met Dylan on that day that we visited the set. Have not met Tyler, but again, feel a bod kinship to him. And
he is. He's awesome. He's a great dude. I just
know we're going to get along like gangbusters.
Great dude and a great actor. That Less Than Kind show apparently was a fantastic show. I'd never seen it, but a lot of people were like, man, that show's amazing. He was awesome in that, too.
Yeah, Maury Chaykin was on that show.
Oh, yeah?
And Tyler Johnston is a great actor on Letterkenny, too.
Yes, he is, for sure. Well, they're all nominated screen actor guys, right? Definitely.
Yeah. So, and Dylan is not only son of former Arizona Coyotes assistant coach Jim Playfair.
The guy that got the shirts off and smashing the sticks.
Top 10 stick smashing shirt rippers.
Nice.
But also, Dylan Playfair is a big deal in our house because he's on Descendants 2.
Yeah, and Some Assembly Required, which is the John and Jack like that one.
Yeah.
So I was like sitting there one morning having coffee. I'm like, what the hell? Now I remember I'd seen him somewhere before because he plays the dumb surfer kid in that show.
And nails it.
And definitely nails it for sure.
You know, the thing about doing kids shows is that I've never done a show. Like, obviously Street Sense was kind of for teenagers. Mm-hmm. But the thing, like the way my girls are rabid fans of shows, like kids love things in a way that adults do not.
They love shows and they love the YouTube people. Like, have you heard about this guy Logan Paul?
No.
He's just this, you know, long-haired surfer, you know, looks like a bro.
Oh, I think I've seen that kid. Yeah,
but he's got like I don't know, 50 million subscribers or something like that, and he gains like a million a week or something insane. And he's everywhere, and he when he goes anywhere, there's like swarms of people. It's nuts, and he's just on YouTube.
Well, my girls know the term YouTuber, right? Indy's five, and she talks about YouTubers.
Yeah, and the big YouTubers are actually like more popular than celebrities on television. Like
this. Tags, we're at the age where not only do I not recognize a single name in the teaser pack for the Kids' Choice Awards, but people younger than us are getting Icon Life Awards.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the funniest thing. Have you ever heard of that Coyote Peterson guy?
Nope.
He's another guy. He's just started a nature show on the internet where he kind of, I think, became famous for like letting shit bite him. Like he does like stings, the worst stings. He gets bit by like the worst shit. He lets a snapping turtle bite his arm, like craziest stuff. He puts his hand, lets a lobster, you know, bite his hand with, you know, not bite, to clamp his hand. Anyways, he's like a good, interesting, very knowledgeable person with animals and stuff like that. But he's massive, like to the point where he's like on tour now, playing huge places to people coming in and doing meet and greets. And
look, there's an alligator on my horn.
Yeah.
It does hurt, but surprisingly not as much as you'd expect.
How about the guy with the bites on his horn? Like, where did that come from?
There have been a bunch of hits lately. Slanguage, Seeing Snakes is huge. And people loved Phil.
Yeah, they love Phil. Phil was a smash.
Phil made me laugh really hard. Yeah. And there's something about the relationship between Phil and Donovan.
Oh, Don.
Well, that is really special.
Donovan just makes it, he's just, I like where he goes.
Me too.
I like where he goes. And I see his face. As soon as you start talking, I see his face.
Do you?
Yeah.
What does he look like to you?
Well, he's kind of like got the Mark Holmes thing going, right?
Yeah.
With the big shades that you can't see his eyes whatsoever. And they're all like, J-Lo's shades.
Right? And like thin, his hair super is thinning.
Yeah, it's like got that like thing where it looks like it may or may not be wigsy, right?
Because
it's like a little high, kind of like the Rod Stewart thing.
Yep.
You know, like the big poof on the top.
And Donovan probably had to make a choice after he was in a band as a teenager called like the sodding yobs or the poofters or something. He finally realized, you know what, I'm not going to make it, so I better get something a bit more. Well, he's so opportunistic, he realized that there was more money to be made taking advantage of people.
Yes, for sure. And what was his big break was like some horrible downfall of an artist is where he made his break and became famous.
Like Rick Allen from Def Leppard?
He was driving the car.
Oh, no!
He lost the arm.
Oh, no. It was Donovan's fault.
Then he's like came in to help out because he brought Phil on Hysteria. And it blew them right out of the water.
Hysteria is 30 years old.
Yeah.
I loved and still love that record. Hey, Phil, thanks for coming in, yeah?
Yeah, I'm
on here, such short notice. I've got a track, man, and it's like, between you, me, and the Queen.
Thanks for flying me in, man, from L.A., man.
Of course.
It's awesome.
Of course, on the Concorde. Phil, I've got a track, and between you, me, and the Queen, it's a bit thin, and the reason is because... the drummer in this particular band has lost a limb. And
what?
He thinks it sounds great. I think it sounds better. So what I told him is, what I might do is add a percussion track. And he was okay with that because he's at physio. So we have a small window. So what I'd like to do is I'm rolling. You just be tasteful, but present. Yeah? I don't want to have to dig it out. I want to be able to hear it over the track, okay?
Sure, man. You're the boss.
And even if you know the band when you hear the song, it's between you and me and the Queen. Take a listen.
Def Leppard, man.
Can you hop in? Maybe tasteful was the wrong direction. How can I say this?
What?
I think you should be busy. Let's try busy.
Like, just like everywhere?
Yeah, I want to hear you all over it, yeah? Because I can take out what doesn't work. So we might as well throw everything at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah, sure,
or
man.
Stick, in this case, because the drummer only uses one stick.
You got it, D.
Let's try it again. Busy. More busy.
Hit those red lights. Set up. Set up.
Don't be shy. Get in there. Earn your money. Earn your money. Can you do that electric drum sound? Busy. Are you there, Phil?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's coming up to the chorus. I want to hear you busy. You ready?
Yeah, man.
I'm going to hit play. The Queen is calling on the other line, so I'm going to take a call. But you get busy with the song.
Okay.
Busy.
Okay, man.
Busy.
Yeah.
Busy Gillespie, okay? Busy Phillips. Busy.
Okay.
Do-ba-da! Talk to you next week, bud.
Hey, bud. Doom gong, gang, gong, doom gong, juvo, bounce, doom, bam, bam, tick a doom,